Verse 9. People who want to get rich. Well, first of all, before you move on, I mean, isn't this everybody? I mean, doesn't everybody want to get rich? Well, here's what he says. People who want to get rich. In other words, if that's your main desire, that's you're wired toward living your life in such a way so that your goal, the main thing you want to do is to get rich. Here's what happens. They fall into temptation. Now, you can start numbering these, but I run out of fingers in my two hands. I actually get, I think, to about 11 by the time I'm done with this list of the warnings about if your life is about wanting to get rich. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall into temptation. That's number one. And a trap. Number two, you know, trap. I mean, this is like the kind of trap that was set for an animal. And it kind of reminds me of Satan's, you know, roaring lion seeking who he may devour. There's a target on our chest, and he's going to try to take us down through the love of money. Temptation. We know what temptations are. And what greater temptation is there, according to this passage, than somebody who wants to get rich? And that's it. And his life will be full of temptations. And they won't just be monetary temptations. Because wealth then becomes, when the heart is not right and the mind is not thinking correctly, wealth becomes a way to buy into opportunities to go places and to do things and be surrounded by temptations that come back to bite you. So temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires. So many, not just a few foolish desires, and not just foolish desires, but harmful desires. So a foolish thing is a thing which you think is in your best interest, or you wouldn't be doing it, because we always act according to what we think our best interests, but often we're wrong. Many foolish and harmful desires. So the child that doesn't know what he's doing foolishly plays on the curb when there's fast-moving traffic that's just potentially just a few feet away from him, and then he's prone to stumble and fall out there in that traffic, and that's where it becomes harmful. Many foolish and harmful desires. So this desire to get rich is kind of the core desire, but then it moves into other foolish and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge is another key word. And this word, I did a little word study on this. I mean, this is what it sounds like. The word plunge is very good. I mean, it's like the free-for-all. This is not I took a fall and fell down to the ground 3 or 4 feet or 6 feet or any or even 10 feet. This is a plunge. This is hundreds of feet of free-fall, and it's a scary word. That plunge people into what? Ruin and destruction. So now, I mean, right now, you almost have to, it's not funny, but you almost have to laugh at how severe these warnings are. I mean, I don't know that there, in all of Scripture, at least it does not come to mind, that in two verses, verses 9 and 10, that there are more powerfully worded warnings of the disastrous nature of anything than there is of when what your life is about is wanting to get rich, that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And these words in the original Greek are just what they sound like in the English, ruin and destruction, devastation. Now, explanatory, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Of course, it doesn't say that that money is the root of all evil. But it says the love of money. So again, the problem is not money, the problem is us. You know, in a perfect world where we didn't have sin natures, money would be no problem. It'd just be this great provision of God that we would all see it as that, and it wouldn't control our lives. We wouldn't be in love with it. It wouldn't be the false god, the money god of mammon. But we don't live in that kind of world. We live in a fallen world, and our sin natures are very powerful. And even as believers, people have to say no to the flesh and the desires of the flesh and say yes to the desires that correspond to our new transformed identity in Christ. So the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, and there it is again, it's the living your life, wanting to get rich, the desire for money, eager for money, have wandered from the faith. Okay, now we get really close to home. This is not being said about secular people. This is the you know, Paul is writing to Timothy, who works with people in the church at Ephesus. Church people, people who profess Christ. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. Wandered. They didn't set out to wander. Nobody really sets out to wander. It just happens. Well, they've wandered from the faith, the true Christian faith, and they pierced themselves with many griefs. And that's how these just two verses end. Pierced themselves with many griefs. So, in summary of the bad news, it's not just that this is the wrong way to live in terms of money love, which is just woven into our culture. It's that it's the stupid way to live. It's the foolish way to live. It's the way that's going to come back and bite you in the end. So he says to Timothy, verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance. Fight the good fight of the faith. This isn't going to be easy to battle money love. I was reading about the number of actual advertisements and commercials that are seen by the average person each day. In the 1970s, it was calculated at about 500, which is a lot. I mean, count all the billboards and, you know, all that that people, you know, see in the commercials on TV, and they're listening to the radio, and things are attempting to be sold to you. But the latest statistics actually are beyond belief. They say that somewhere between 4,000 and 20,000 actual promotions to buy something, advertising of some sort that includes brands that are visible on people's clothes and when you go places and you do things. And this one guy who's an advertising guru said he could not believe that. So what he did was he started one morning the way he always does. He turns on the radio. He's got television going on the background. He sits down to breakfast. I don't really recommend you start the day that way. But so he was disciplining himself to count the number of advertisements. And before he was halfway done with breakfast, he was almost to 500, which even that is hard for me to believe. But he was saying, okay, I then gave up because it was so wearisome trying to count the number of appeals. And then I was going to go outside in the real world and get in the car and see the billboards and listen to the radio and talk with people all day and see the brands. But that's the world we live in, and so we have to fight.